Birth, Chapter 15. They were quiet as the company shuttle bus arrived at the tall glass building just off Highway 90. Gulfport, Mississippi was a small town by national standards, but the oil industry ran an enormous operation from its sandy and wind-blown streets. Hurricane Katrina had devastated the oil industry just south of here in 2005. New Orleans had rebuilt much of the heavy infrastructure, but it became necessary to relocate the offices to Gulfport during that time. It was a major investment, and the company just felt like the cost of operating from here was better. So they stayed. Orphan sat in the back in his yellow and green jumpsuit with the BP flower over the left breast. He was still sore, and his throat was slightly burning from inhaling the oily smoke. He stood with the others and stepped onto the white sidewalk and up the marble steps of the BP office complex. The group walked quietly through the opulent lobby and divided up between three elevators to reach the 18th floor. They walked down the carpeted hallway to the large glass wall on the left and into the conference room. It was nice, Orphan thought. One table, about 30 feet long with black leather chairs all the way around. Two men in suits were at the far end and one man in what looked like the blue flight jacket. It was short at the waist and had a large round emblem on the right side. His arms were folded as they stood there waiting for the men to find a seat around the table. Bonner took a seat next to him. He had a white cast on his left arm, and there were wires holding two of his purple fingers together. He winced as he placed it on the table in front of him. Orphan leaned back in his chair and noticed it reclined easily. He folded his hands across his stomach. "Gentlemen, welcome to this meeting. My name is Brad Sorensen. I am head of BP Accident Management. This is a debriefing of the events of 2 days ago on the Deepwater Horizon. You each have had the finest care available and have been well attended to, yes?" he asked, holding his left hand out as though to urge a response. "Yes, and you bet," were some of the simultaneous replies. Orphan did not move. He was watching the three men. They had not let him speak to his father after they were rescued. He knew his father had seen the news. He had to. He owned one of the most powerful newspapers in the world. He knew his father was trying to find out if he was okay. They tried to take his cell phone, but he told them he didn't have one. He kept the battery out of the phone because his dad said people might try to trace him someday because of him. BP is committed to cleaning up this spill as quick as possible. I know the news makes it out to be an environmental disaster like the world is coming to an end, but I assure you that within 60 days there will not be a trace of this spill anywhere to be found. After all, oil is natural too. And there are all kinds of critters that come out to break it down and live off it for a while. He paused and looked around the table. "This is Harold Hofstetter. He is in charge of human resource development. He has a report and some forms you need to look over. Harry?" "Believe me, gentlemen, nothing pleases me more than to see you here in good health," he began. "Let me read this, and then I will hand it around to you. At approximately 5:20 on April 20th, 2010, the main blowout preventer on the Deepwater Horizon failed, causing a high-pressure gas leak. This leak caught fire when it reached the surface and resulted in an explosion which destroyed the rig, killed 11 workers, and injured 16 others. We, the crew of the Deepwater Horizon, add our testimonies that the blowout preventer was the root cause of the failure of the rig." "While Harry is passing this around, I want to assure you that your positions are secure with the company. You will all be compensated for your hardship and experience and will be provided the first and best opportunities available to find work," said Brad. "That's not what happened. The words escaped Orphan's mouth before he knew he had said them. The two suited men looked at Orphan, and the third man unfolded his arms. It was the first move of any kind he had made. "Excuse me?" asked Brad. "That is not what happened. There were these giant waves." "Hold on, son," interrupted Bonner. "Guys, he's young. And there was a lot going on that night," said Bonner in an uncharacteristically sweet voice. He held up his arm in the cast slightly and gestured. "Look, we've been through hell. There were waves everywhere. Don't pay any attention to my boy here. He's cool." He gripped Orphan's shoulder with his right hand and looked into his eyes. Those cool steel blue eyes were pleading with him to keep his mouth shut. He'd seen those eyes before, in his mother's gaze, as she begged him not to argue with his father. She had lost one son, and she didn't want to lose him. It seems when an Iraqi marries an American woman, the sons are prone to strong tempers. His mother kept his in check. She was a blessing in his life, and right now he missed her more than anyone else. "Yeah, it was a mess," said Orphan. He slowly picked up the pen, without looking up at Brad or Harry, and signed the paper that was placed in front of him. "Gentlemen, thank you very much," said Brad. "Harry's got vouchers for you. These are good at the two casinos for dinner and $500 in chips. Relax, we'll be back in touch in a couple of days. Be safe out there," said Brad as he gathered the papers and handed them to the man with the sunglasses. They each stood and walked single file out of the room. There were two vouchers left on the table.